From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle, and here's your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Carl.
Thank you, Carl. Thank you, everybody.
Thanks, everybody. You are right to be enthusiastic because we got a great show for you today. America's sweetheart, the Empress of Drag, RuPaul, will be joining us later to play Not My Job. We're hoping in just about 10 minutes he can make us as glamorous as he is. Shouldn't be a problem. Whatever you're wearing, give us a call. The number, 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. It's time to welcome our first listener contestant. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, I'm Diane Budd from San Francisco.
Hey, Diane, how are things in San Fran?
Perfect.
Of course. And what do you do there?
I'm a doctor.
Okay, cool. And do you do interesting San Francisco kind of medicine involving holistic things and herbs?
Actually, my last shtick was with Doctors Without Borders in northern Uganda.
So. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So you're doing that kind of work?
Yeah.
Wow. Which really gives me nothing to make fun of. Well, Diane, let me introduce you to our panel this week. First, say hello to a writer for the Boston Globe and the author of Idiot America, Mr. Charlie Pierce.
Hi, Charlie.
Hi, Diane.
Next, one of the women behind the Washington Post's reliable source column is Roxanne Roberts is here.
Hi, Roxanne.
Hello, Diane.
And the humorist and author of Don't Vote, It Just Encourages the Bastards, Mr. P.J. O'Rourke.
Hi, Diane. How you doing?
I'm okay.
Diane, you're going to start us off with the Who's Carl this time.
Okay.
Carl Castle is going to read you three quotes from this week's news. If you can correctly identify or explain just two of them, you'll win our prize. Carl's voice on your home answering machine. You ready to go?
I think so.
You think so?
Yeah.
Well, we're about to find out. Here is your first quote.
I love that you're so hot and such a liberal.
That, Carl, was sexy.
That was
one of a number of illicit messages sent to a certain man who, as he confessed this week, responded to those messages in creative ways. Who was it?
It might be Anthony Weiner.
It might be. Yes, Anthony Weiner. Oh, Weiner, Weiner, Weiner. Weiner.
Weiner's Weiner.
Weiner, Weiner. After lying all last week about not having sent pictures of his package hither and yon, Representative Anthony Weiner of New York finally confessed at a press conference on Monday. Turns out it wasn't just one picture, but all kinds of sexy pics and chats with at least six different women, he said. How do we know he was finally being honest? Because he was wearing a button that read, "Not lying now, ask me how." Do you guys watch the press conference?
No, I didn't. I actually did not. I'd seen enough of Anthony Weiner this week.
Yes. You know, Weiner had to, after he did the public apology...
Why don't we just say member of the House?
Member of the House.
But I have a feeling for not much longer in either House.
Possibly.
Either his own or the people's.
Oh. After the public apology, he had to start making private apologies to a lot of people.
For his privates.
Exactly. Including to Bill Clinton, because Clinton...
Wait a minute!
What happened was Bill Clinton had officiated at his wedding. He's married to one of Hillary Clinton's closest friends and aides. So Bill Clinton officiated, so he felt he had to apologize to Bill Clinton, making him the first person in the history of the world to apologize to Bill Clinton for sexual infidelity. It's like apologizing to James Brown for having too much soul. You know, it's like... Here is your next quote.
In just a matter of weeks, he has gone from celebrated conservative visionary to the Uncle Fester of the Republican Party.
That was Dante Scala. He's a political scientist talking about a candidate whose entire campaign staff resigned en masse on Thursday. Who?
Newt Gingrich.
Yes, indeed, Newt Gingrich. Newt Gingrich, his campaign manager, his spokesman, his strategists and consultants, his field operatives in Iowa, they all walked out. They said it was because they had a, quote, different vision for the direction of the presidential campaign. We assumed the direction they wanted was towards winning. Instead, Newt, whose campaign rollout a few weeks ago was a disaster, decided to then disappear for 2 weeks on a Mediterranean cruise because his wife really wanted to go. Gingrich said the cruise wasn't a total waste of time and energy. He secured the endorsement of Julie, the cruise director. And Isaac, the bartender, is on the fence, but we think persuadable.
Well, we Republicans are a little slow. We're conservative because we like to think things out carefully. And after, you know, 16 years of Newt, we decided...
Wait a minute. Yeah,
on the other hand, you know, cruising around Corfu with your trophy wife or, you know, petting the pig in Des Moines, it's hard to argue with.
That's true. Another Republican candidate news this week. We want to keep you up to date. Senator Rick Santorum launched his candidacy with a speech in which he said the GIs who landed at Normandy did so to save us all from the peril of government-run health care. He said that. And it's true, because you all remember that big speech from the beginning of Saving Private Ryan? Tom Hanks says to his men, "I'll see you on the beach. And if you get killed, remember, at least your grandchildren won't be forced to buy health insurance through public exchanges." A tear came to my eye. And this is my favorite, because, you know, we only keep you apprised because you make your choice, the Republican nominee. Herman Cain said he would protect the U.S. border with Mexico by building a great wall like in China, electrifying it, then building a moat in front of it and filling that moat with alligators. That's his immigration policy.
Yeah.
But it's all going to have to be Mexican labor.
Yeah, no.
For the construction.
Here is your last quote.
"I'm staying in my house. I'm going to watch TV and have a cold beer. You got a better idea than that? I'd love to hear it."
That was an 84-year-old man named Harvey Milman. He was laying out his plans to cope with what this week?
Incredible high temperatures.
Yeah, the heat wave. It was so hot this week, everybody was tweeting with their pants off. That's how hot it was. It was a little frustrating, you know, to deal with this, but in the era of new austerity, the government has decided to eliminate spring. We're going to have three seasons, hot as hell, cold as hell, and baseball postseason. That's it. A heat wave spread over the East Coast, the Midwest. It came so fast after a brutally cold winter that in some places the snow boiled away. Carl, how did Diane do in our quiz?
Well, the good doctor had three correct answers, Peter, so Diane, you win our prize.
Well done, Diane. Yay! Thank you so much. Yay!
So much.
Right now, panel, it's time for you to answer some questions about this week's news. PJ, just weeks after U.S. operatives took out Osama bin Laden, British MI6 agents made an attack of their own on al-Qaeda. They hacked onto an online magazine and replaced bomb-making instructions there with what?
Oh, God, yeah, it was like a recipe for brownies or something.
Close enough. It was a cupcake recipe.
Cupcakes,
PJ.
That's
yes.
It, yeah.
Very
yeah.
Good.
Yeah. Of course, if you've ever had any British cupcakes, sticking with the bombs.
They were wise.
Yeah.
Any jihadist who went to the website to get the bomb instructions would click the link only to find that they had downloaded, this is true, Ellen DeGeneres' Best Cupcake in America recipe. This both removed dangerous information from the hands of terrorists and helped build Ellen's demographic in an audience that she has traditionally found hard to reach. Come for the cupcakes, jihadis. Stay for the crazy dancing.
The message. Plus, it fattens them up so that they're easier to spot with drones.
Yeah, I know. It's like death to America, more like death to my hips. Am I right? You know? The message may not have caught on. Shortly after this cyber attack, U.S. forces in Afghanistan encountered an improvised frosted device on the side of the road. Captain, I believe it has sprinkles. Is that that dangerous?
It's only a matter of time before they resort to Twinkies, and then we're in big trouble. You know why? Because those things last for years.
That's true.
I mean, there are Twinkies in Afghanistan that the Russians left there in 1975.
Still good, though. Still good. Roxanne. Much was made of Sarah Palin's unique understanding of the story of Paul Revere last week. That he rode a horse through town ringing a bell to warn the British that they wouldn't take away our guns while firing warning shots. Well, her supporters quickly came to her defense by doing what?
They attempted to change the Wikipedia page to reflect the version of events that she shared.
Exactly right. As George Santayana once said, those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it unless somebody can just go in and do a quick edit without anyone noticing.
And as I said, she's working for the other side.
Yeah. Soon after she made that statement on local TV in Boston, the Wikipedia article mentioned that one account of the ride of Paul Revere, quote, suggests that Revere rang bells during his ride, unquote. That entry was frozen and restored by Wikipedia, but there are indications that Palin supporters have moved on to other subjects. For example, the Wikipedia article on Arctic wolves says, enjoys being shot from helicopters. And the entry for refudiate says, it is so a word, you communists. Right now, it is time for the Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me Bluff the Listener game. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to play our game in the air. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Nick Doolittle from Cambridge, Massachusetts.
Hey, Cambridge. I used to hang out in Cambridge. Yeah. What do you do there?
I am a hospice social worker.
Oh, my gosh.
Another yeah. noble person.
So you help people with terminal illnesses.
I do indeed.
We got Peter, we just got to vet
yeah,
these calls.
I know. I'm going to have a talk with my screener. Yeah, this is not good.
No offense, Nick, but we like to have people that we can sort of mildly mock.
Oh, I know. I know. It's a tough one.
All right, well, Nick, welcome to the show. You're going to play our game in which you must try to tell truth from fiction. Carl, what is Nick's topic?
That'll learn you.
This week we heard a story about the little guy finally scoring some points. Yep, David whipped Goliath's butt. This week our panelists are going to read you three stories of people fighting back and winning. Choose that true story. You'll win Carl's voice in your home answering machine. Ready to go?
I'm ready.
First, let's hear from Charlie Pierce.
The Nergers of Collier County, Florida, have taken revenge for all of us who look at the modern banking system and yearn nostalgically for the days of the pillory and the dunking stool. 5 months ago, Bank of America began foreclosure proceedings on the Nergers, despite the fact that the couple didn't owe one dime on their home. They had paid cash. The Nergers beat the bank in court, and the judge ordered Bank of America to recoup the Nergers' legal fees. When the bank neglected to pay the bill, the Nergers foreclosed on the bank. Sheriff's deputies, movers, and the Nergers' attorneys showed up at a Bank America branch and began to seize computers, desks, and whatever cash they could find in the teller's cages. Within an hour, the bank paid the judgment in full. As a foreclosure attorney, said Todd Allen, who represents the Nergers, this is sweet justice. Sales of tar and feathers in Collier County remain brisk.
A pair of homeowners foreclose on a bank for once. Your next feel-good story comes from P.G. O'Rourke.
Louisiana restaurateur Beau LeClaire is a frequent flyer with all the security hassles that entails. Plus, he has a 6-inch pin in his thigh from an old motorcycle accident that sets off all the whistles and sirens. Beau also happens to own a bar right outside the TSA National Training Center in Shreveport. After a full body search experience that made him late for his plane in New Orleans, Beau advertised free beer at his bar for all TSA personnel. Then, Beau bought a used grocery store checkout counter conveyor belt and a bunch of dirty plastic trays and borrowed a metal detector. TSA employees were lined up for hours, emptying their pockets, taking off their shoes, and going back and forth through a metal detector set to buzz no matter what. A biker gang was hired to do pat-downs. When the TSA finally made it to the bar, the beer was served only in containers of 3 ounces or less. And, said Beau, I charged them for the peanuts.
Vengeance taken upon the TSA as they try to get a beer. Your last story of the little guy finally winning one comes from Roxanne Roberts.
Jean Capper was browsing through Martha Stewart's website this spring when she found a recipe for Rocky High Pie. Tapper's own recipe, no doubt about it. The refrigerated concoction was created in 1986 at the University of Colorado by Tapper and her Tri-Delta sorority sisters. They cleaned out the pantry and combined mini marshmallows, bacon, cashews, pineapple chunks, potato chips, chopped Kit Kat bars, and Cool Whip in a graham cracker crust. Okay, we were stoned, but it was delicious. Tapper told the Denver Post, and it was our invention. The dessert became the sorority's signature dish, which is why Tapper was so cheesed that Stewart claimed it as her own. Her letters of protest were dismissed by Stewart's lawyers with a curt note that recipe ingredients cannot be copyrighted. But Tapper got her revenge last month when she and five Tri-Delts appeared on Rachel Ray's show, where they presented the perky cook with all future rights to the recipe and its new name, the Martha Stewart Stole Our Pie Pie.
All right. One of these stories not only was true, but gave hope to the huddled masses. Was it from Charlie Pierce, the story of a couple who foreclosed on a bank? From PJ O'Rourke, the story of a bartender who got vengeance on the TSA by making them go through hell to get a drink? Or from Roxanne Roberts, the people whose recipe was stolen by Martha and have now immortalized it with Rachel Ray's own recipe? Which of these is the real story of vengeance in the news?
Those are all very, very tempting, and I greatly enjoy the TSA story, but I'm going to have to go with the third story.
The third story? Roxanne's story about the pie?
Yeah, I'm going to go with it.
You're committing to that. Roxanne's story of the stolen pie. All right, yep. Well, we actually spoke to somebody who was involved in this act of vengeance.
We went to the Bank of America branch to essentially foreclose on them. We were prepared to clean the bank out of all their personal property, including the cash in the teller's drawers.
That was the lawyer for the couple that foreclosed on the Bank of America, Todd Allen of Naples, Florida. As you have no doubt figured out, Roxanne made it up again. I warned people not to trust her. Sadly, you did. You didn't win our prize. It was obviously Charlie's story that was the true one in this case. On the other hand, to cheer you up, hey, this couple, they got to foreclose in a bank. Isn't that great? You did not win our game, but you did earn a point for Roxanne for being so convincing. Thank you so much for playing.
Thank you, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Sweet revenge, sweet revenge, without fail. Sweet revenge, will prevail without fail.
And now the game where we invite highly fabulous people on to do something highly ordinary. It's a game called Not My Job. A lot of people claim to be drag queens, but the queen of them all, the drag empress, if you will, is the fabulous RuPaul. His book, Workin' It, is now out in paperback. Season 2 of his show, RuPaul's Drag U, premieres June 20th on Logo. RuPaul, welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. You are, without question, the most famous, the most successful, the most glamorous drag queen ever. How did you start? How did you get there?
With a pair of high heels and a dream, darling.
I bet. So where and when was this? You did not grow up in a glamorous setting, I know.
Well, actually, San Diego in the 60s was kind of a Republican glamorous, if you will.
I won't, but go on.
I'm from San Diego, but I grew up reading magazines about Andy Warhol, and I wanted to move to New York and create a star for myself.
When you were a kid, you wanted to be famous. Did you consider anything else? Did you consider being a rock star, being an author? I mean, but you were like, no.
Politics?
Yeah, for example.
Well, it's funny you say that because it is. Every time I bat my false eyelashes, it's a political statement, you know. And I started out in rock band, and this is during the Reagan 80s, and we were trying to be just outrageous. So drag became this thing, the last taboo in our culture. So we started doing it. And the reaction I got was, wow, mama, you got something going on there. So I thought, okay, yeah, let's do it.
You have your second TV show. You know, there was RuPaul's Drag Race, the competition of drag queens. But now you have Drag U. And could you tell me the premise of that?
Yeah, well, Drag U is for biological women to come and find their drag avatars. And everyday women, are basically looking for the Superman to their Clark Kent or the Wonder Woman to their Diana Prince.
Right. So let's say then, let's try me. Here I am.
Oh, Lord.
I know. No, seriously. So here I am, my old man in public radio house. How would I begin to bring out my inner
Start
diva?
With a wig.
Yeah, all right, fine. Don't listen to them. They're negative Nellies, RuPaul.
Heels.
No, I'm not. Those are the obvious things. How do I bring out my inner diva?
Peter, the truth is that you do bring out your inner diva on this radio show.
I do.
RuPaul, we have often thought that, but we never had the guts to
right.
say it.
So all this time it's been a drag act. I did not know. Now, you're known for having developed your own vocabulary over the years. We've got a few of your terms here. We'll go through them. What, for example, is a glamazon?
A glamazon is someone who has taken a love of beauty and life and depending on the weather or how my blood sugar at any time, you know, I can be more powerful than at other times. But it's a conscious decision to live life with a fierce determination.
Okay, I have some more. I have some more RuPaul terms here. I want definitions for shilarious.
Listen, you know, drag queens always love a portmanteau of combining words and making something new because this whole world is shilarious, you know. And so you have to entertain yourself with words. Shilarious is just something that is a really hooty-kiki, funny item.
All right.
Shilarious.
And let me see if I can pronounce this one correctly. Shantae? That makes sense.
Well, Chante is sort of a bastardization of enchanté from French, you right. know.
So that's just that's just something you say when you're happy to meet somebody, but you don't have a lot of time. I have a question for you, though. Sometimes, is it a burden to be RuPaul, fabulously glamorous drag queen? Do you ever just want to throw on a T-shirt and jeans and go out and to the store to get a quart of milk? Or can you not do that because they'll show up in the tabloids?
No. The truth is, you know, when I'm not working, when I'm not being paid, I'm wearing some fabulous suit or something gorgeous. Listen, if I'm going to be on this planet, I'm going to make the most of it. I'm going to wear gorgeous clothes. I'm going to dance. I'm going to laugh. Otherwise, I don't want to be here.
So you have a universal no schmata policy? You never just throw on whatever you got lying around to shuffle down the street in your flip-flops like I do?
No, listen, there have been times when I've done that, but the truth is I know that my life is so much better, it's so much more enriched if I make the effort, if I actually celebrate with gratitude the fact that I get to be on this gorgeous planet.
Well, I have seen you dressed in, I guess, what you might call male drag, really nice Italian suits. You're a very good-looking man. Is that a requirement to be a very good-looking woman as a drag queen?
What are you doing after the show, honey?
I'll text you. So you've been doing this for a long time. Do you think you're going to keep it up? Are you going to still do it when you have to do drag with support hose and gray wigs?
You know, I'll do it. The audience will basically let you know when it's time to go home.
I guess so. Well, we are so delighted to have you with us, RuPaul. And we have asked you here to play a game we're calling...
Gentlemen, Start Your Engines.
That, as you know, is how you start a drag race. It's how you used to start your show, RuPaul's Drag Race. But since you do that kind of drag race, we thought we'd ask you about the other kind. Answer three questions about drag racing, the ones with cars, and you'll win our prize for one of our listeners, Carl's Voice and their home voicemail. Carl, who is RuPaul playing for?
RuPaul is playing for Bill Boas of Tampa, Florida.
All right. You ready to play?
Yes.
All right. Here's your first question. Lots of different cars at drag races, lots of different classes of cars. An event might have these different cars. Is it A, diggers, floppers, and door slammers, B, elephants, shrews, and weasels, or C, mini maxis, mega minis, and maxi teenies?
I will say C.
You're going for C, mini maxis, mega minis, and maxi teenies? It's actually A, diggers, floppers, and door slammers. Diggers are the, you know, the rail drag racers that you think of. Floppers are funny cars, and door slammers are stock cars. See, now you know that. Now you know that. All right, two more questions.
Okay.
Dragsters require a lot of specialized equipment around the engines. In fact, each car must have one piece of equipment known in drag racing circles as what? A, the spittoon, B, the puke can, or C, the Zamboni?
Well, okay. I'm going to say B.
You're going to have B, the puke can? You are right. That is what it is. It's the puke can. It's a overflow container for the radiator, you see. And they used to use real beer cans, and now they don't. But they still call it a puke can. So this is exciting. You got one right with one to go. You get this last one right, you'll win our prize. Drag racing, of course, started as illegal street racing. People still do that. For example, just last March, a man in Ashland, Ohio, was arrested for illegally drag racing a what? A motorized beer cooler, B, a Segway, or C, an Amish horse and buggy.
I'm going to say a motorized beer cooler.
Now, in order to drag race a motorized beer cooler, you'd have to pull up at a stoplight next to another guy who happens to be sitting on top of a motorized beer cooler.
Yes.
I'm not saying it's impossible. It could happen. But the real question is how likely you
think
that
would be. What are the other options,
Peter? The other options, well, I'm glad you asked, Roxanne. The other options were Segway.
Yes.
Or an Amish horse and buggy.
Well, I do know that there are Amish people in Ohio.
Yes.
So I'm going to go with that one.
You are?
Yes.
You're right. It was the Amish horse and buggy. Jacob Eber was apparently racing another horse and buggy to church, of course, when he tried to pass and clipped a car coming the other way, got arrested. This is what I want to know. If you're, everybody knows that when you're drag racing a car and you're stopped at the light looking at each other, you race the engine, right? You go vroom, 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 vroom. What do you do when you're getting ready to drag race your horse and buggy?
You goose the horse.
And it goes, hey!
No, but the really cool thing, Peter, is at the end of the race where the parachute pops out of the back of the buggy.
Carl, how did RuPaul do in our quiz?
Peter, RuPaul had two correct answers, and that's enough to win for Bill Boas.
Well done, sir.
Congratulations.
Dare we say fabulous.
That was fabulous.
Yeah. And he wasn't far off with the beer, because there was somebody arrested for speeding on a motorized beer cooler
in
Ohio.
That's true. But there
a friend of mine in Ohio sent me the newspaper clip.
He was just in a hurry to get a good seat for the Amish drag racing.
Exactly.
You know what the infield is like at those things.
My God. So I got to ask you this, though, RuPaul. How is your experience in weight stacked up with all the other many things you've done?
Well, this, I think, is absolutely by far the most incredible experience of my life. Right
there you go. That's a man who's unafraid of enthusiasm. Season 2 of RuPaul's Drag U premieres June 20th on the Logo Channel. RuPaul, thank you so much for joining us on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. What a pleasure to talk to you.
Great.
Take care. In just a minute, Carl learns the hard way that rhyme doesn't pay in our listener limerick challenge. If you'd like to play, give us a call at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Right now, panel, some more questions for you from the week's news. Roxanne, this week, American-German ties took a giant step forward when German leader Angela Merkel and U.S. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton bonded over a shared mutual interest. What?
Would this be the picture of their two midsections?
Yes, wearing
pantsuits.
Pantsuits. They both love pantsuits. Yes. Pantsuits. Yay. Before the state dinner on Tuesday, Merkel presented Clinton with a photo that showed both women, Clinton and Merkel, from the chest down wearing almost identical pantsuits. And it had the caption, "Which one is which?" Funny. Ms. Merkel and Mrs. Clinton also bonded over the fact that they've both received back rubs from American presidents that they did not want. In Ms. Merkel's case, it was, of course, as you remember, George Bush at a summit meeting. In Secretary Clinton's case, it was President Clinton for about a week after he came clean about Lewinsky. Charlie, we think of the life of our ancient male ancestors as a constant struggle. Either they were roaming miles, gathering plants, or hunting down mammoths with spears. But in fact, according to a new study of one archaeological site, ancient males spent most of their time where?
On a couch.
Pretty much. The answer is at home.
Yes, they were homebodies.
They were homebodies. Ladies, you know how your husband just sits in the sofa doing nothing all day? He's not lazy. He's true to his evolutionary roots. According to scientists at the University of Colorado, in a study of a 2-million-year-old archaeological site, ancient women, or hominids, did all the hunting, exploring, and gathering, while men stayed back at the cave just watching the same cave paintings over and over again and spending way, way too much time obsessing over their fantasy fiery discovering league. Their fantasy fire discovering league. You see. You know these hominids are sitting there like pointing the remotes at the cave painting going, it's not working, it's still changing.
And you know what? They can't make the clock work on the
it's
cave
terrible,
painting.
It's terrible, terrible. Little cave painting blinking 12, 12, 12. PJ, managers are always looking for new ways to increase their employees' productivity. A new study suggests what is the perfect tool to get people working hard?
A Republican Congress and presidency lowering the tax rates. All right, all right.
I need a hint. Oh, no. You need a hint. Don't worry, PJ. I'm sure you're smart enough to get this.
Ooh.
That's the hint.
Oh, I think
you
I can
You use sarcasm
exactly.
on
Exactly. Sarcasm, PJ. A phenomenon unknown to you. It turns out if you need somebody to do a task right away, don't yell at them. Mock them ironically. Really?
Yeah, what? Yeah, that's what I've been doing for a living for 35 years, and it works like crap. Let me tell you.
There's a new study in the Journal of Applied Psychology. It suggests that angry statements like, get this done or you're fired, well, it motivates them, but it shuts down creativity. Statements like, I'm sure a person of your intellectual greatness will find this spreadsheet a snap. That helps stimulate workers to do complex jobs.
Yeah. Didn't like everybody's mom discover this 40 years ago?
Apparently.
And it worked like crap.
Yeah. Besides, if this was true, teenagers would control the world.
They would. Specifically, my 13-year-old daughter. I mean, she would be empress of the earth.
Roxanne, you may have heard about the contortionist who hid in a suitcase to rob the baggage on an airport bus in Spain this week.
Yes.
I'm sure you had. That's why I shouldn't even bother to mention it. Okay. Well, it turns out that this guy got caught when his accomplice was seen doing what?
All right.
Ironing him back at the hotel.
Since he's not sharing this, this little guy, they put him in the lower part of the bus, and then he climbs out of luggage and rifles through all the people that are in the actual seats of the bus. So his accomplice, he failed to pay the additional luggage fee for this guy.
No.
He was knocking on the floor of the bus going, hey, how you doing down there?
That's exactly right. He was seen talking to the luggage. Here's a tip, burglars. People do talk to their luggage, but very few of them listen for a response. Don't do it. After other passengers watched the man and the luggage deep in conversation, they tipped off police, who found the sweaty 6-foot contortionist burglar inside. Once removed, the man insisted he was innocent and that he was only traveling in the suitcase because it had more leg room. PJ, everybody knows shopping for jeans is one of life's most awful experiences. I'm sure you go through this all the time.
No, I don't.
All right.
I'm a Republican. The help wears jeans.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my.
Anyway. Yeah. When people buy jeans, Roxanne, maybe you can inform PJ, the big concern when you buy jeans is what?
The big concern is that it makes your derriere perhaps look not as petite as one might wish.
Well, what about a blue blazer that comes down over your derriere?
That's true. That is truly the Republican solution.
A blue blazer,
a club tie, a martini. What are you worried about?
Two more martinis and I will look like Hugh Jackman.
Getting back to the dressing room, PJ.
Yes. The martini's a good idea.
The martini's a fine idea. But
shaken, not stirred. Yeah.
I know. Now put the martini aside, if you will, mentally, and go back to the dressing room.
Yeah.
In the dressing room, they have something to help you find out if your butt looks big.
It's called a mirror.
No, more high. It's a more high tech solution.
A video camera.
Yes, butt cameras. It's the latest thing. Everybody who buys a pair of jeans is like, oh my gosh, do they make my butt look fat? Well, one solution to this problem would be just to put a sign in the dressing room that said yes. But this is better. You know, it's like those cameras in the back of minivans or SUVs. It's a camera in the dressing room, and it points at your butt, and you can see it on a monitor in front of you, so you can find out. Customers are spending hours gazing at their butts from a perspective they never had before, going, oh my God, it's so beautiful. But be careful, on the lower edge of the monitor, there's a warning. Butts on screen may be larger than they appear. Coming up, it's Lightning Fill in the Blank, but first it's the game where you have to listen for the rhyme. If you'd like to play on air, call or leave a message at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. You can click the Contact Us link on our website, waitwait.npr.org. There you can find out about attending our weekly live shows here at the Chase Bank Auditorium in Chicago and our upcoming show in Nashville, Tennessee, June 30th. Come see us. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Stephanie. I'm calling from Marietta, Georgia.
Hey, Stephanie. How are things in Marietta?
It's very nice here. It was cloudy today, so not too hot.
Isn't Marietta where Newt Gingrich is from or used to represent?
I'm originally from New York, so I try not to think about that.
What would you know? Okay. Stephanie, welcome to the show. Carl Castle is now going to read you three news-related limericks with the last word or phrase missing from each. Your job, fill in that last word or phrase correctly. And two of the limericks do that, you will be a winner.
Yes.
Ready to play?
Yes.
All right, here is your first limerick.
She cleans well and is a good nanny. Her patience is truly uncanny. Advancing in age, she demands a low wage. That's why I am renting this...
Granny.
Yes! Rent-A-Grandma is a new California company so popular it's about to go nationwide. For $20 an hour, exhausted parents can rent a reliable matronly woman aged 50 or older to watch their kids, tidy up, and criticize your parenting skills, life choices, and no good husband. For an additional fee, they'll leave. Here is your next limerick.
My bull elephant rolls in the dirt. I am digging his wrinkled gray shirt. He really can wow his elephant cow. He's such a big tease and a...
flirt.
Yes, a flirt. If you thought that elephant at the zoo was giving you a come-hither look... why, you might be right, Representative Wiener. According to a decades-long study, elephants in Kenya, they're shameless flirts. They flutter their eyes, and this is true. Female elephants will glance back over their shoulders in that classic, you know, pin-up style pose. Once the infatuation, though, wears off, it's, you know, it's the classic, you know, not tonight, dear, I have to wash my hair with my own nose. All right, here is your last limerick.
Please take my wife, I'll pay money. Or shall I make jokes much more funny? My audience is squirming. You see, I am German, and that means that I am not...
funny?
Funny, exactly, yes. An international poll conducted across 15 nations delivered some shocking news this week. Germany is officially the least funny nation on Earth. What a shock. The only people that don't know this are the Germans because the other nations in Europe are afraid to tell them. Oh, no, you're hilarious, really.
Ha!
Carl, how did Stephanie do in our quiz?
Well, Stephanie, you had three correct answers, so you win our prize.
Well done. Thank you so much for playing our game.
Oh, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Ich lachte dich an. Und du begannst zu weinen. Was war nur geschehen? Unser Glück war so schön.
Now it's time to move on to our final game, Lightning Fill in the Blank. Each of our players will now have 60 seconds in which to answer as many fill in the blank questions as he or she can. Each correct answer now worth 2 points. Carl, can you give us the scores?
Roxanne Roberts has the lead, Peter. She has 4 points. P.J. O'Rourke has 3. Charlie Pierce has 2.
All right. So then we'll have Charlie. You're in third place. You will go first. The clock will start when I begin your first question. Fill in the blank. A new poll suggests that President Obama has lost the popularity bump he gained with the death of blank.
Oh, Osama bin Laden.
Right. Defense Secretary Robert Gates urged more NATO allies to participate in airstrikes against blank.
Libya.
Right. This week, the Senate allowed legislation that would cap bank fees on blank.
Swipe cards.
Yeah, debit cards, yes. Privacy advocates complained this week at the new facial recognition software installed on the social networking site blank.
Facebook.
Right. Despite its popularity with customers, health officials in Columbia, Missouri have asked an ice cream shop to stop selling blank.
Whiskey.
No, cicada ice cream. Ugh. On Wednesday, Meredith Vieira ended her 5-year run as co-anchor of The Blank Show.
The Today Show.
Right. Trouble, the Maltese dog who inherited $12 million from hotel mogul blank, died at age 12.
Leona Helmsley.
Right. A California woman who locked her keys in her car is in trouble for blanking to get the help of police.
Robbing a bank.
No, setting a brush fire.
Oh, well, there we go.
It was 4 a.m. She'd locked the keys in her car on the Golden State Freeway, and the freeway call box was disconnected. But she had a box of matches. According to the sheriff's office, to get attention, she decided to set the hillside on fire. And she got our attention and was arrested for arson. Carl, how did Charlie do in our quiz?
Charlie had 6 correct answers for 12 more points. He now has 14 points, and Charlie has the lead.
All right. And PJ, you were in second place, is that right?
That's right. Yep.
All right.
But
okay.
Not for long.
All right, PJ, you're up next. Please fill in the blank. Farmers in Europe were forced to throw away their fresh produce because the source of the blank outbreak is still unknown.
E. coli.
Right. In the wake of the Fukushima crisis in Japan, Germany announced it would close all of its blanks by 2022.
Atomic power plants.
Right. On Tuesday, NBC outbid Fox and ESPN and secured the rights
Olympics.
To...
Olympics.
Yes. During their story about Sarah Palin last Sunday, Fox News accidentally blanked.
Laughed.
No. Used a picture of Tina Fey playing Sarah Palin. Scientists announced.
I'm betting it wasn't an accident.
Scientists announced this week that they were adding 2 new blanks to the periodic
elements,
table.
Elements, euslicium and expensivium or something.
A study shows that in the days following initial reports about Anthony Weiner, there was a noticeable drop-off in congressmen using blank.
Briefs rather than boxers.
No.
Twitter, of course.
Twitter. After his new boat sunk on its maiden voyage, a British man realized he should not have named it blank.
Titanic.
Yes, Titanic 2, in fact. Mark Wilkinson had just entered the harbor on the Titanic 2 when it sprung a leak and immediately began to sink. Wilkinson was rescued by the local harbor master, but says he's giving up boating for good.
And Leonardo DiCaprio ran right out onto the bow.
Tiny little Leonardo DiCaprio. He was very excited, though, about going for a flight in his new airship, the Hindenburg 2, Flaming Boogaloo.
And his wife, Andrea Doria, was unavailable for comment.
Carl, how did PJ do in our quiz?
PJ had 6 correct answers, 12 more points. He now has 15 points, and PJ has the lead.
Well done, Pete. All right.
Not for long. Roxanne is on next, and Roxanne knows everything.
How many, then, does Roxanne need to win, Carl?
6 correct answers.
6 correct answers. All right. Ready to do this, Roxanne?
We'll try.
Here we go. Residents in Arizona fought against spreading blanks that have grown to the second largest in Arizona history.
Wildfires.
Right. Reports this week indicate that the president of blank was more seriously wounded last Friday than thought.
Yemen.
Yes. Programmers warned this week that the internet may run out of blanks as soon as 2012.
Domain names.
No, IP addresses. Delta came under criticism after it came out that the airline had charged soldiers returning from Afghanistan an extra $2,800 in blank fees.
Luggage fees.
Yes, a misprint in an online advertisement for a beer sale at Tesco in Britain led to a blank.
Riot?
Stampede to the supermarket because he's still recovering from a knee injury. Golfer Blank announced he would not compete in the U.S. Open.
Tiger Woods.
Right. Steve Jobs made an appearance at the Worldwide Developers Conference to announce the new blank service.
iCloud.
Right. The band AC/DC has been performing since the 70s and, according to reports from Australia, continues to add new fans, including blank.
Koala bears.
Great white sharks. Cage diving operator Matt Waller says there are 2 ways to attract sharks: fresh blood in the water or AC/DC. And since Matt's business is bringing tourists closer to the sharks, he's in favor of the music, a lesson he wished he'd learned many, many tourists ago. Carl, did Roxanne do well enough to win?
She needed six correct answers, and she had six correct
answers.
So with 16 points, Roxanne Roberts is this week's champion.
I know how much he enjoys that. In just a minute, we're going to ask our panelists what Newt Gingrich will do to reinvigorate his troubled presidential campaign. But first, let me tell you all that support for NPR comes from NPR stations and Chase, offering the Marriott Rewards Premier credit card. Details at marriottpremier.com/radio. The National Association of Realtors, providing resources for homeownership at houselogic.com. And Lumber Liquidators, whose flooring includes pre-finished and stained solid hardwoods, bamboo, cork, and laminates. Information at lumberliquidators.com. Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is a production of NPR and WBEZ Chicago in association with Urgent Haircut Productions, Doug Berman, executive producer. Philip Gotica writes our limericks. Our house manager is Don Hall. Our intern is Amy Solomon. Our web guru is Beth Novi. Engineers include Lester Larchick and Muhammad Mao. Thanks to John Zajac at Chase Bank. BJ Litterman composed our theme. Our program is produced by Ian Chillog, Eva Waltrover, and Emily Ecton. Technical direction is from Showbiz Newhouse and Lorna White. The senior producer of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is Mr. Michael Danforth. Now, panel, what will Newt Gingrich do to reinvigorate his troubled campaign? Charlie Pierce.
He will call a press conference and denounce American society as sick, and then following his usual modus operandi, he will go off to run for president of a younger, prettier country.
Roxanne Roberts.
He'll do what he always does, trade in his current wife for a newer model, this time from New Hampshire.
And PJ O'Rourke.
Let's just hope like hell he's staying off Twitter.
And if Newt does any of that panel, we'll ask you about it on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you, Carl Castle. Thanks also to Charlie Pierce, Roxanne Roberts, and PJ O'Rourke. Thanks all of you for listening. I'm Peter Segal. We'll see you next week. This is NPR.